Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, life is a series of decisions, and we can all look back and see wrong decisions. How would you like to look forward and guarantee yourself that the next great decisions you make are right? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the Word of God with Dr. Paul Chappell and uncover life's greatest decisions. Stay with us. There really is something invaluable about a well-made decision. So often we make decisions by whim or by emotion or by our best educated guess. The fact is, life is filled with life-changing, altering decisions. Decisions that are like dominoes, that have consequences, that unfold to other decisions and other paths in life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell is going to examine with us life's greatest decisions. These are decisions that as you make them according to the Word and will of God, you'll look back on and have no regrets. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can join us every Monday through Friday right here for this Bible study. Before we join today's message, I do want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org, especially if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Devotional from Dr. Chappell, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you to listen to at your convenience. These resources and much, much more are all found at dailyintheword.org. Today, once again, we're in the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1, as we decide to wait upon the Lord. Here's Paul Chappell.
You know, the average man in 21st century America, hearing the kind of news that Joseph heard, might have become very angry, might have gone to Mary and yelled and screamed at Mary, might have got on the internet chat room and found some dating club, might have found some bar just to go drown his sorrows. Who knows what a man may have done, but Joseph was a godly man. And what godly men do is they wait on the Lord. Godly men seek the face of God, and they don't run to a rash decision or conclusion. Here was a man who waited thoughtfully. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Sometimes, as Benjamin Franklin of old said, haste makes waste. And we see that Joseph was a wise man. He wasn't going to get hasty in this moment. He was going to wait on the Lord. I want to encourage you during this holiday season, with its highs and with its emotional lows, that you do not allow yourself to make a decision during that low time. That you do not make a decision about relationships or about your church attendance or about some big decision financially when you are discouraged or depressed. That during those times of wonder and worry, that you would remember Joseph, who was willing to just think on these things and meditate and wait on the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, how many of you are willing to say with me, if this was the invitation time, and it's not, don't get your hopes up, that's about 15 minutes from right now, but if this was the invitation time, how many of you would be willing to say, Pastor Chappell, if you were to give the invitation right now on patience and the need for it, my hand would be lifted. I'm one that needs to make some decisions in that area. Patience, boy, I need help with it. Joseph needed help with it, and the fact of the matter is, he was willing to wait on the Lord. We all get impatient. I heard about a little fellow that wrote a letter this week to Santa Claus, and he said, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance." Sometimes that's how we are. You know, we want things right now and in our own terms. But Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph waited thoughtfully. And I want you to see also, Joseph waited knowingly. He waited knowingly. You know, I love the fact that God will come to us and give us just as much information as we need during our time of trial. He doesn't always give us all the information we want, but he gives us just what we need to know during that time. And for Joseph, God sent to him an angel with this message. In verse 20, the Bible says, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The first thing that God reveals to Joseph is that this conception that he was so worried about, this conception was a miraculous conception, that this had come about by the work and the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Luke 1 and verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, the modernist today and the liberal theologian and preacher today deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But without the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary and without the virgin birth of Christ, then there would never have been the atonement on the cross of Calvary. And so the virgin birth is one of the cornerstone doctrines of the Christian faith. And God said, "I want you to know, Joseph, that this was no accident. This was no sinful act. This was the holy work of the Holy Ghost." And the Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." If I can draw your attention to that verse, John 1:14, the Word, speaking of Jesus Christ, he was the eternally pre-existent Word. This one who existed in eternity past, who has always been and always will be, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Word became flesh by way of this miraculous conception of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was born. And he who never ceased to be God and who always was God became man. And thus he was God and man simultaneously. He was deity wrapped in humanity. And Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of God. And the Bible says, "For in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We know that there are many cults in America today and many false religions around the world today that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And yet we celebrate this month the fact that God came down to us, and that if Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, then we would have no salvation today, for the blood atonement would be of no effect. But because he was the Son of God, then there is salvation offered from heaven for all who believe today. And so we see the conception was miraculous, and we see, secondly, the purpose was salvation. Why did Jesus come? Just to be a good teacher or a good prophet or another religious figurehead? No, there were plenty of those. But the fact is, he came for one reason, and it's found in verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now let's read this together, shall we? In verse number 21. Ready? Begin. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, Jesus came to save us from our sins. Please listen very carefully. No one will be saved from their sin. And by the way, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners this morning. None of us can be saved from our sin on our own. We cannot be saved from our sin by a church. We cannot be saved from our sin by a religion. The only way that we can be saved from our sin is by Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who lived a perfectly sinless life, and who died on the old rugged cross and shed his blood for the covering of our sin and rose up again on the third day for our justification. Jesus came to die for our sin. What a wonderful Savior he is. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, His name, Jesus, reveals His purpose. It means Jehovah saves. The name Savior means deliverer. And Jesus Christ came to make an atonement for the guilt and the pain and the consequence of our sin. He came to cover that with His precious blood. Oh, this morning, I want you to know God loves you and He values you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sin. This past week, I traveled back east for a meeting at Baptist International Missions, a Baptist missionary agency, and the Lord's allowed me to serve on their board of directors the last several years, and we had the opportunity to hear different missionary testimonies and to see how things are going along with over 1,000 missionary families and so forth, and it was a blessing. And as I returned home from that meeting, I was sitting on the airplane, and I had my Bible out there, and I had my laptop out, and I was doing some reading and doing some studying and some working. And as I was going along, I heard just behind me and to the left, a lady. I thought to myself, she either has a bad cold or she's crying. I didn't know which. I just knew there was a lot of sniffling going on back there. And after a little while, she reached over and tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Sir," she said, "could I borrow your Bible?" And I said, "Well, sure." And she took my Bible, and I heard more sniffling after a little while. And I looked over and I said, "Do you need any help with where to read in the Bible?" She said, "Well, I saw you reading Matthew, so I thought I'd read Matthew." I said, "All right, well, I just thought I'd ask." After a little while, I kept hearing that sniffling, and this time I saw some tears coming down. I said, "Ma'am, I'm a pastor in California." I said, "Would there be anything I could help you with?" And the tears continued. She said, "Oh," she said, "Sir, I was saved when I was 12. She said, "I accepted Christ as my Savior back then. And as Jesus came into my heart, I was so happy and I was raised up in church. But," she said, "to be honest with you," she said, "I married a man that didn't think as much about it. And she said, against some counsel and so forth, I got into the relationship. And," she said, "it wasn't long before the anger developed in that relationship. And," she said, "not only would he oftentimes yell at me, but again, he began to hit me and began to beat me month after month after month." She said, "it got so bad that I finally went for some counsel. And even my pastor said, 'You need to get out of this, at least for a time.'" And she said, "I didn't know what else to do." She said, "I had some friends in Europe, and I went over there." And she said, "I've been there for the last 6 months, and my marriage is over, and my life is never going to be the same." And she said, "I'm just coming back for a few days to see some family." And I took the Bible that evening as the plane was making its approach to Los Angeles International Airport. And I began to share with her some scriptures. I shared with her the scripture that says, "Casting all your cares upon Jesus because He cares for you." And I shared with her many psalms about how much God loves her and how God wants her to have comfort in her heart. As the plane was landing, I took a bill out of my wallet, and I said, "Did you see this bill?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "If I were to offer that to you, would you like to take it?" She said, "Well, sure." I said, "Well, let me ask you this question." I took that bill, and I wrinkled it up and crumpled it in my hand. I even dipped it down in what was left of my coffee there on the little tray. And then I opened it back up, and I said, "Now, let me ask you a question." I said, "If I were to offer you this bill now," I said, "would you be interested in taking this bill?" And she said, "Well, sure." She said, "It's the same value." And I said, "Lisa, I want to tell you something. I want you to know that even though you've had this divorce, and even though you feel like your life has been trampled upon and maybe bad things have taken place to you, I want you to know, Lisa, that you are of no less value today than you were the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He loves you. And I want you to know, friends, this morning that God has placed a great value on your life. He loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to come down to this sinful earth and to live here and then to die on the cross so that He might say, "That's how much I value you. That's how much I love you." And we see in the Word of God that this immaculate and wonderful and miraculous conception brought forth a Savior who died for the sins of the entire world. This event was prophesied in the Scripture, how He would be born. He would be born of a virgin, when He would be born, 490 90 years after King Cyrus, Daniel was told in Daniel 9:25 where he would be born. Micah 5:2 even prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem. You see, all of this was done according to God's timetable. And I want you to understand something. You may be feeling like you're waiting for nothing. You may feel right now like going through this time in your life is just a cold wintry period and you don't understand why the wait. But I want you to recognize that even on God's timetable today, this has been an appointed time, and His will is that you would wait for Him and that you would seek His face during a time of difficulty. And for some in this room this morning, God has brought you to this place in your life so that you would turn not to religion, not to become a member of the church, but that for the first time you would put your faith completely in Jesus Christ and let Him wash your sins away and one day take you to heaven for all of eternity, so that you would walk out of this room today having a personal Savior in your heart, not a relationship with the church, but a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, the worry of Joseph taught him how to wait on God and gave him an understanding of what this was all about. This was about God working in his life. But I want you to notice finally this morning the witness of Joseph. I want you to see what Joseph did with this good news. The Bible tells us here in verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Now watch this very carefully. Notice that he first of all accepted the will of God. Joseph said, God, if this is your will for my life, then I am going to accept it. And he took Mary as his wife. He had thought previously about putting her aside. He had thought perhaps about making it public, but at least privately putting her aside. But now, as God had worked in his heart, he took her unto himself to be his wife. He immediately obeyed the will of God. That's why we read in Luke chapter 2 those famous words, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And here's this verse number 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Joseph said, I'm going to claim Mary. The world might ridicule me. They might not understand, but I will identify with her, for it is through her that God has chosen to bring his only son. And so Joseph identified with Mary. And when the Bible says they went down to Bethlehem to be taxed, it doesn't say that Joseph went alone. It says that Joseph went with Mary, for he had accepted God's will. He had determined that he would do what God had called him to do. And by the way, isn't it amazing that taxes weave their way into the Christmas story? Sort of like legislation in Washington, you know, just get pinned in there somehow, and here it is. Heard the story of a man that was on vacation, and he was walking outside of his hotel, and all of a sudden he saw a lady, and she was violently screaming, and her son was screaming and crying, and he realized as he watched the situation, he ascertained that the little fella had just swallowed a quarter, and he went up and he said, how can I help? And she said, I don't know what to do. And the man very quickly grabbed the little fellow by the ankles and began to shake him and pound him on the back. And all of a sudden, pop, out came the quarter. The lady said, wow, that was great. Are you a doctor? Are you a paramedic? How in the world did you do that? He said, oh, I'm not a doctor, ma'am. I work for the Internal Revenue Service. And Joseph and Mary, with all the divine actions taking place in their life, one of those divine and sovereign moments and movements in their life was that God would touch the heart of a king named Caesar Augustus, and that he would move the entire political system in such a way that what they thought was a negative, going to pay taxes, was God's way of fulfilling his prophecy and bringing them right there to Bethlehem. My friend, there are no accidents with God. And Joseph gives this witness. He says, I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. He identified with Mary. Notice, secondly, he accepted the purpose of God. He accepted the purpose of God. The Bible says in verse 25, he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine that holy moment. That moment we'll learn more about next week when Joseph first lays his eyes on this babe. And he sees the Lord Jesus and he calls him for the first time, Jesus. Hello, Jesus. He didn't have to look up names in a name book. He didn't have to discuss it with Mary. God himself had said, his name will be called Jesus. Not only does he see, but he believes. He trusts what God said. God says in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There it is again. Jesus Christ was not just another child. He was God with us. And Joseph believed God. And by the way, Joseph was willing to bear the reproach of believing on Jesus Christ. He said, I know there will be those who may not understand. There will be those who will question Mary. They will question my sanity for taking Mary. But I believe this is of God, and I am willing to bear the reproach. And I want you to listen. If you will be a Bible-believing Christian in 2004, there will be people who will say, what is he going to that church for? Why are they living this way? Why do they take their kids there? What in the world is going on with their life? There may be some reproach for some people say, I can't believe my children are Baptists. I don't know what the reproach might be, but I want to tell you right now, if it's God's leading, you be willing to bear it. For the Bible says, all they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Joseph said, if that's what it means, I'm willing by faith to identify with Jesus Christ. He was a man willing to wait on the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, even if it means bearing reproach, even if it may seem like a little embarrassing? Are you willing to say, you know, I know that I'm a sinner, and here Jesus came to save sinners, and I've never had a time in my life where I called out to Jesus and said, Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. If you've never had that time, let me encourage you today to trust Jesus. It's not about church membership. It's not about whether you've been to catechisms or baptisms. It's about this, my friend. Have you put your total faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, is there something going on in your life today that would require you to just wait on the Lord? Something that you can say, you know what, I need to learn from Joseph today. His decision wasn't really that glamorous. He just decided to be patient. He just decided to let God be God. Maybe you're here today going through something where you just simply need to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm not going to move ahead. I'm not going to lag behind. I'm just going to wait on you to speak to my heart during this time in my life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open up your precious word. Thank you for these dear people and the way they have listened this morning. Now, I pray that your spirit would touch hearts in a way that I could never hope to do, Lord. And I pray that right now in this moment, that the true meaning of Christmas would dawn as a day star in the hearts of those who would believe.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell. He's been teaching a series entitled Life's Greatest Decisions. And I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org and find out about Pastor Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. If this series is resonating with you, Stewarding Life will help you take your limited resources and align them with eternal priorities. You're going to want to take a look at and enjoy reading Dr. Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.